At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Money Talk is a podcast where we talk about money. This podcast is a place for me to be able to share what I learn and enjoy about personal finance. Here, you'll learn something about everything from budgeting to retiring. Let's get into today's episode. Hi, so just before we start with today's episode, I wanted to interject here with a quick thank you for everybody who's been listening to the podcast. I've noticed the podcast numbers growing and us getting more and more listens per episode, and I really appreciate the time you take to listen to me ramble about random financial things that I find interesting. I hope you find today's episode interesting and all the future episodes. I really like creating this podcast, and I know that there are people out there listening, so thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to my podcast, and I hope you are enjoying it. Please leave any feedback you have for me, either through the voice message link in the show notes or through reviews and comments on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram, Fleming Financial Coach. I also do financial coaching, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, but I just really want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. It really means a lot, and I really appreciate it. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about a written plan. We are going to talk about the importance of a written plan, where to start with creating a written plan, the different elements of a written plan, how to manage and update your plan, as well as what to do when real life happens and your plan isn't perfect. You'll commonly see people recommend creating a written plan when it comes to investing or when it comes to managing your personal finances. But how do you actually create one? How do you actually format a written plan? There are so many questions that come along with the grand idea of just create a written plan. Sure, the idea has good intentions behind it, and having a written plan is very important, but nobody teaches you how to actually do that. So let's do that today. First, let's talk about the importance of a written plan. So let's talk about the importance of a written plan. One of the first things that's most important about a written plan is it gets your mind thinking. It gets you thinking about the future and what you want and what you want to do with your money. It gets you thinking about how you're going to accomplish those goals. It really makes you, like I said, think about the future and makes you think about how you're going to accomplish it. Because if we're just going with the flow of things and just going with whatever happens to our money, we're probably going to end up broke because everybody wants our money and we need to do our best to keep our money in our hands. And the written plan will help you reduce stress. It'll help you stop wondering what you're going to do with your next paycheck. It'll help you stop wondering what you're going to do in 3 years when you decide to buy a house because that's something you've already started to think about. A written plan will help greatly reduce your stress. It helps create a roadmap with those 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 year goals, like whether it's retiring early, buying a house in 5 years, buying a nice luxury car in 15 years, you can start to begin to build a roadmap. Those things seem way down the road, but if you don't plan for them, I'm willing to bet they'll sneak up on you a little quicker than you think, and you won't have any money to accomplish those goals when you get there. So at least start thinking of them a little bit now and write down the goal. Just write it down, even if you change your mind and that's not actually what you want to accomplish in 20 years. You can always edit it later down the road. But the written plan helps you make the most out of what you got right now. If you're just letting your money go, do whatever you want right now, or if you're just paying off all your credit card bills and you don't actually have a real plan for it and suddenly your credit card debt keeps piling up and piling up, well, making a written plan helps you get the most out of what you got. It helps you make sure you know you're investing enough. It helps you make sure you know you're paying off debt in the right order. It also helps you feel confident in your goals. Like if you want to pay off debt, you know that you have a 3-year plan, and in that 3 years, you'll be debt free. And with that make the most out of what you got part that I said, you're going to find yourself suddenly finding more money. You're going to find yourself squeezing more money out of your budget, out of every paycheck, because you have a plan and you know how to tweak that plan, and everything just becomes a lot simpler and a lot easier. So now that you know how important it is to have a written plan, let's talk about where to get started and how you can create your written plan. So where do you start with creating your written plan? Well, the first step is probably to set your financial goals. Think about it, 5, 10, 20 years from now, Where do you want to be? Let's think about some goals. So 5 years. If you're brand new married, 5 years might be a good time to start looking into a house. If you're just coming out of high school, 5 years is probably a good time to find your first real job and to figure out how to start planning for retirement. If you're just having like your third kid, 5 years might be a good time to start thinking about retirement. Maybe you're close enough to that. 5 years might be a time to think about upgrading the house and how are you going to fix up your current house so you can sell it for the most value. 10 years from now, maybe you are completely retired. Maybe you want to go on a big vacation or a mission or do some big service project. 20 years, maybe you want to have great grandkids that you can support fully and that you can take on wonderful vacations and a legacy that you can leave behind. Just get your mind thinking about years and years and years down the road. What do you want to do? What if you're knee-deep in debt? Getting out of debt should be a financial goal. Debt can be crippling and can leave you with chains tied around your legs so that you can't really do anything that you want to do. Debt payoff can be a financial goal that you want to hit. Like I said, retirement is a pretty big goal. Everybody has to retire, don't they? I mean, you can keep working, but eventually your body's going to get old and tired, and it's going to kind of give out, so you need to be ready to retire. You need to at least be ready to take a step back from hard labor. Maybe there's some sort of a consultation role or a coaching role you want to do because you're really good at a certain type of business and you want to help train people in the future. That might be easier than doing the job itself, but might still make you a little bit of money. These are the sort of things that you have to consider when it gets to those sort of time periods. And this is all something that you need to put in your written financial plan. One of the key things to creating your plan is track your money and redirect it. Figure out where you want your money to go. Create a plan of, we make this much per year. This is what we're going to do with it. We want to make sure to at least set $1,000 a year away for vacations. What if we don't go on a vacation during like a COVID year? Then you have extra money saved up. Think of those sort of things and make sure to write them down. Dedicate time to creating your written plan. It's going to take some time. It takes some effort to get it started. It doesn't have to all be done in one sitting, but if you break it up into sections, you and your spouse could say, let's sit down for 30 minutes and talk about our 5, 10, 20, 30 year goals. Let's brainstorm some things. Let's just throw some ideas out there and let's narrow down some goals that we have together and some individual goals that we have. Because you are still individual people, it's important to think of plans on both sides of both as a couple and individually. And if you're not married, then sit down by yourself. Sit down with a trusted friend because they may know you a little bit better and be not a little bit better, but they may know you and be able to throw some ideas that they think you would want to do that you didn't necessarily think of. But you need to dedicate time to creating your written plan. And you need to create an emergency fund. You need to write down in your written plan how you're going to use your emergency fund. What happens if you lose a job? Are you going to use your emergency fund? Or are you going to try to cut down your expenses as much as possible and get some side job and try to find a job without having to use your emergency fund? What is your plan for your emergency fund? Hopefully you have some ideas brewing in your head about how to start writing your financial plan. Let's talk about the specific elements and what you need to include in your written plan. So let's talk about the different elements of a written plan. So the first part is your goals and your timeline. Like I said multiple times, you got to think of your 5, 10, 15, 20 year goals, and you need to figure out your timeline. Like, how long are you going to keep this plan implemented for? How long are you going to update it? All those sorts of things. You got to figure out a timeline so that you can keep yourself on track. Because if you just write it down with no real timeline or plan behind it, it'll just get adjusted and fall in by the wayside, and then you'll forget about your written plan. But you need to also write down your asset allocation. How much debt do you have? How much savings do you have? How much cash do you have? How much investment assets do you have? How much real estate assets do you have? What are your cars worth? All those sort of things, kind of like a net worth statement. But you need to write that down in your written plan so that you're aware at the current point when you're creating your plan, how your financial situation looks. You need to write down an explicit money plan. Where is money going? How much money is being saved? How much is going to pay off debt? How much are you going to invest? Those sort of numbers are very important to create. That way you have your basis of your budget built in your financial plan. That way you know exactly how much you plan on investing, exactly how much you plan on paying off debt. If you're using a really aggressive debt payoff strategy, your investing might be zero. Your savings might be zero. But your debt might be a few $1,000s because you want to pay that off very quickly. Make sure to write those things down. One way or another isn't really bad. You just need to create a plan and stick to it. Write down your agenda. Like I mentioned, you need your timeline. What are your plans going forward with your plan? Are you going to update it quarterly, every 6 months, yearly? Are you only going to look at it every 5 years? I would recommend looking at it quarterly, at least when you're first getting started. Maybe even monthly if you've never budgeted or anything before. but at least quarterly, yearly is probably okay once you get into your groove and know what you're doing with your financial plan. But you have to have those different elements. Like I said, goals need to be included, your timeline, your different asset allocations, where your explicit money plan is and where your money is going, and your agenda and plan with your money plan. Now that you have an idea of what is needed in your written plan, how do you keep track of it? How often do you update it? I've already talked about that a little bit, but let's go in a little bit more depth about managing and updating your written plan. This section is going to be very brief since I already talked about it, but how do you manage and update your written plan? How often should you check it? Well, like I said, monthly if you're just getting started, quarterly if you're starting to get going and figuring things out, maybe every 6 months if you're really in a groove and your plan is solid and in place, yearly if you're really just cruising through things and doing really well for yourself and don't have any bumps in the road, which is very unlikely, but you really shouldn't you really should check it more often than yearly. If you're doing less than yearly, either you have a really solid financially independent plan in place and you're good to go, or you're not checking it at all, most likely. But how often should you update it? Probably when you check it. Like, there should be little pieces of it that change, like your investment allocation. You're probably going to get raises at work. Maybe you should be putting more money into retirement, maybe less because you're trying to pay off debt. Your situation in life will change often, so make sure you're updating it probably quarterly. Maybe every 6 months is okay, but definitely more often than every year. Stuff is bound to go wrong though. Life happens. What do you do in your financial plan and everything else seems to be going downhill? Well, I have the answers. Let's go over that next. So thanks for sticking around to the good part of this episode. Let's talk about what to do when real life happens and your written plan goes wrong. So what do? Everything is going wrong. You lost your job. Your spouse lost their job. Your kids have a bunch of bills due all of a sudden for a medical expense. Your car gets a flat tire. Your car gets totaled in an accident. Your investments just tank. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in this world, frankly. What do you do with your financial plan when that happens? Well, you want to hold tight to the plan. That's the reason for the plan. Is if you can maintain it, great. But you want to write in that emergency section. What if you do lose your job? What if you can't contribute to your retirement right now because you just don't have any income and you're scraping by? Well, write that into your plan. Provide yourself that roadmap that I talked about. Reduce your stress through planning when you're not stressed. Because when stuff starts hitting the fan and you start getting really stressed, you make impulse decisions and they may not be the best decision in the moment. Sometimes that might happen. Sometimes you may still need to make an impulse decision. That's okay. But you should try to use your written plan to mitigate as much risk as possible. Because if stuff hits the fan and you're making all instant decisions and risky decisions, and then they all go wrong, that just piles on and piles on the stress. But if you at least have a small amount of things taken care of, like if you lose your job, write down that you're going to go start DoorDashing. You're going to sign up for Amazon Flex, Uber, Lyft, all those side jobs, and you're going to start doing them. Write that down so that you know in the moment what the next step is. But what do you do if the stock market goes crazy? Absolutely nothing. If the stock market starts dipping and you still have a job, keep investing, because then you're getting stuff on sale. If you start pulling everything out and panicking, then you're probably going to lose money. But write this into your plan so that you're prepared, because there can be a big wave of emotions when you see the stock market dip really hard in one day. You're like, is the world going to end? Is the economy going to crash? Probably not. We're probably going to be just fine. Write in your plan what to do. Maybe when the stock market crashes, maybe you write in your plan that you need to go into the mountains and go for a walk, or go into the forest or the hills. Maybe you need to find a safe place that you can take yourself out of the environment of continual news. Because when the stock market starts going down, the news starts bombarding us with all the panic and confusion and frustration that just kind of builds up in you and can cause you to make rash decisions. How do you hold the course? Just like I said, write it into your plan. Figure out what you need to do when stuff starts hitting the fan. When you lose your job or your car gets totaled, maybe you need to take an interest in biking for a few weeks. Like, just do something to get your mind off of it. Write it into your plan. And that is why a written plan is so important. It allows you to hold the course when things start all going wrong. Write in what you need to do. Write in what you're going to do when stuff happens, and you'll be just okay. I promise. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of Money Talk. This week we covered the written plan. We talked about the importance, the different elements, managing and updating it, and what to do when real life happens. There are many aspects to a written financial plan, all of which are important to consider. I hope that I was able to shed some light on the topic for you today and help you start considering your ideas of your written plan. I know that they're a ton of help and can be a huge part in staying the course and not changing your mind all the time. Please consider subscribing to this podcast if I was able to help you in any way. And I hope you enjoyed it. Please leave a 5-star review on your podcast app if you enjoyed the episode. They help tremendously. If you have any questions or comments, send me a voice message using the link in the show notes. Thank you for tuning into Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.